plan view of the proposed upwellers and pumps. Again, we have 8 upwellers, 70 inches by 136 inches, 3 submersible pumps, which will be located beside the pier in the water, and 3 pumps located on the decking of the pier itself. Just as a note, the pumps will be approximately 220 feet from the shoreline and located within wooden structures to protect them from the elements. Here are the drawings for the proposed enclosures, 3 feet by 6 feet, inlet and outlet piping for the pumps. I would also note that within the wooden structures, the applicant is proposing to put in 2-inch foam board insulation to help mitigate noise generated by the electric motors. We have some ground shots showing the pier and the location of the pumps out here. And here's a little closer shot of the location where the upwellers will be placed. So these are the specifications for the pumps. This one here is the submersible pumps. And it's a little hard to see the highlight, but the pumps will be capable of approximately 280 gallons per minute for the submersibles. And these are the pumps that we placed on the decking itself. And these are the ones that are a little bit more of a concern by the protestants. Again, this pump will be approximately 280 gallons per minute, 5 horsepower. In trying to understand a little bit more the concerns of the neighbors, we asked if they could provide specifications for the pumps that included how loud the pumps would be. Unfortunately, the specifications that were online did not include how loud the pumps were. So I went ahead and actually contacted the manufacturer to find out how loud the pumps are, and the answer after some research was approximately 75 decibels, which is about the size, how loud a normal vacuum cleaner would be inside, what they're using inside your house. Staff has now received 12 objection letters to date, including the one you have before you today, from 7 different objectors. The primary complaints have been noise, effects on the ecology of the area, and potential local zoning issues. The letters noted that the noise would affect their quality of life, being too loud, they'd be able to hear it inside their houses and stuff like that. Staff notes that the deck pumps will be as loud as a typical vacuum cleaner during their operation, and that given the distance from the shoreline out to where the pumps are, it's approximately 220 feet, that distance should attenuate the noise, and also the pumps will be located within wooden structures with foam insulation, so that should help mitigate the noise even more. People were also citing potential effects on ecology. The issue of water quality impacting on the ecology of Milford Haven from pumping water through the oyster upwellers has been raised. They are concerned that pumping of water through these tanks would degrade water quality. Considering that the amount of water that would run through these upwellers represents a small fraction of the water in Milford Haven, and with tidal flushing, the effect should be insignificant. One of the protesters also raised the issue of noise impacts on the ecology of the area. While BMRC does take into consideration noise impacts for pile driving activities affecting anadromous fish migrations in the spring, the noise from the pump should not pose any issues due to the large size of the waterway, anticipated noise levels of electric pumps versus pile driving acoustics, and area not being identified as requiring protection for anadromous fish. Protestants have also raised issues with local zoning. I have contacted the local zoning administrators from Matthews County. They indicate that the applicants are current with their zoning permits, and they don't anticipate any additional problems with what they're proposing in this application. In summary, staff understands the protestants' concern regarding the installation of oyster upwellers and water pumps and their effect on the ambient sound conditions in the area. The installation of these pumps and tanks will increase noise levels in the immediate area and add structures to the pier. However, staff feels that the use of electric pumps and the enclosure of these pumps in housing will mitigate noise levels. If issues of noise do impact quality of life in the area, there are Matthews County zoning laws that could address the issue. In addition, staff feels that the ecological effects of pumping water for the upwellers will be negligible due to the size of the waterway. It should also be noted that Oyster Seed Holding LLC operates an oyster hatchery approximately 1,100 feet upstream of this location and has continuous use pumps providing water for their operations as well. The commercial pier has existed at this site for over 56 years. Since the pier in its original form predates BMRC regulatory authority, it is considered to be authorized. However, staff can find no permit records for any royalties paid for the encroachment of the pier subsequent to its initial construction. As such, the installation of the upwellers will require a royalty of $1.50 per square foot for the encroachment over state and subaqueous lands. Since the proposed pumps to be installed on the pier are electrical and will be enclosed in wooden structures to mitigate noise, and the commercial pier has been in existence since the early 1960s, staff feels the project is appropriate use of state-owned subaqueous lands. Accordingly, after evaluating the merits of the project against the concerns expressed by those in opposition to the project, and after considering all the factors contained in 28.2-1205 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends approval of the upwellers and pumps as proposed with a payment of $793.50 for their encroachment over 529 square feet of state-owned subaqueous lands at a rate of $1.50 per square foot. I'll be glad to answer any questions you have regarding the project.
Any questions by members of the commission? First, Mr. Ballard.
Can we go over what exactly our jurisdiction is on this? It's an existing pier, and is it the intakes that we're concerned about or the structures on the pier?
The structures on the pier, the upwellers and the pumps and the enclosure for the pumps.
As well as the intake.
Okay.
Anything above that, pursuant to Zapula versus Crown, that's upland, we have no jurisdiction over. Further questions? Mr. Zedrin.
Do these pumps run 24 hours a day?
They could potentially run 24 hours a day when they're raising spat for their hoist releases.
Further questions? Ms. Everett?
Is that all year round? Or?
I'm assuming it would be when they're actually trying to raise spat, so I would assume it's a seasonal, but the applicant's here, and he could probably address that question a bit better than how he plans to use the pumps.
Further questions, Ms. Everett?
And could you show that aerial again with Mr. Congrove's property? And are they similar pumps?
Oyster
Seed Holdings, LLC. Not too familiar with the operation here, but he does raise spat for sale around the state. I'm sure he has water intakes that he's using to withdraw water, and they're probably running 24/7 as well when he's raising spat. And he produces a large number of spat. This is one of only a few we have in the state.
Comparable operation.
It's probably a larger operation than what we're proposing here.
Further questions, Mr. Tankard?
And what was the nature of the commercial pier since 1963?
I know they've had crab shedding tanks on this before. As recently as I think maybe 5-10 years ago, they had oyster shedding tanks on. Crab shedding tanks on here. I'm sure they've processed seafood, landed seafood on this. Like I said, this has an extensive history going back at least 50 some years.
Follow up, Mr. Tankard.
And when we say commercial pier, that is a particular designation in the state of Virginia, correct?
It's not a private pier. When we talk about private piers, that's for somebody who utilizes the pier for their own water access reasons. This is a pier that's being utilized to make money.
Right. In other words, it's not designated as such as a commercial pier as far as a license is concerned,
right.
Permitting and things like that. That's when that would come into place. There's no specific license issued for a commercial pier, but that's the way we designate the difference between the two. Further questions? I just had one, and I think you may have answered it by the fact that you haven't been there, but the Oyster Seed Holding LLC operation with the pumps there, do you know if those pumps are placed in noise-attenuating boxes that would be similar to what would be here?
I don't know for sure.
Okay, if you don't know for sure, that's fine. I just want to check on that. Okay, further questions? Thank you, sir. Is the applicant present or represented? Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning.
I wasn't expecting to get up here so quick.
We aim to please. Did you raise your right hand?
Yep.
You solemnly swear the testimony you give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God.
I do.
Can you state your name for the record, please?
I'm Ben Woodard.
Okay.
And I work with Susan Wade
okay.
in the absence of Kevin. And so she is actually on a pre-planned trip to Florida, coming back pretty much as we speak. But I told her I would.
So for the record, you're acting as her agent today, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And on the application as well, I was on there.
Okay.
So I guess really Mr. Johnson covered a lot of what I had to say. But to answer one of your questions about how often the tanks will be run, it is a seasonal endeavor. So we're looking at May through about September. And not necessarily 24 hours a day. It would depend on the seed that we have in there at the time. So seed is grown in different lots. So you might get 1 million seed, and you grow those until they reach a certain time, and then you take them out, put them overboard, and then the pumps get turned off until we get the next lot. So it's not that they would be running all the time. Also, the tanks wouldn't all be fully utilized all of the time. When you start with a new lot of seed, you start in one tank, and as they grow, you expand to typically about three times that size, and then until you reach full capacity. But they wouldn't all three, I mean, all the tanks would not be running all the time, 24 hours a day during that period.
And what that means is the pumps wouldn't be running all
yes,
the time.
That's right. Yes.
Thanks for clarification.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Not a problem. A couple of things. Well, Mike, actually, Mr. Johnson already did a good job of showing the aerial, but we're talking about putting them here. I guess one thing to show here, too, is
Can you show it down here as well so
sure.
We can see that?
Sure.
And point to where you're planning on putting them.
So we're going to be, we'll be here, down this side, and the pumps will be off of this end where the deeper water is because this is a little shallow.
What is under that roof structure? What do you do there?
Currently, we've used it just to sort through cages and to arrange bags. There's no...
It's equipment then.
Yeah, it's equipment nice. In there right now. It's been used for various things over the years. I thought that this would be something important to show you guys. One thing that Mr. Johnson did have incorrect in his statement was that this was 2 years ago. This was spring of 17. There were 60... crab shedding tanks there with three motors, two that ran full-time and a third as a backup, pool pump motors.
What horsepower were they that were running?
I don't know. It was before my involvement. But okay. I spoke with the caretaker of the property who was telling me exactly what was there. And then I could count from here and see. These were here for anywhere at a minimum of 10 years, and we think as many as 15. So somewhere between 10 and 15 years, these were on the dock running. This was run all through May and all through June, along with this was a 24-hour operation with lights. You can see the lights all the way around it. They had people in the middle of the night who were there fishing the shedding tanks and packing them. There was a lot of activity on the dock, none of which is what we're proposing. We don't have lights set up. We're not going to be there in the middle of the night, none of that kind of thing. This is one of our tanks that we've had built, one of the eight. So there'll be eight of those sitting on the dock. The pumps, I know that the noise, the perceived noise level is a problem for some of our neighbors, but I also had called the pump manufacturer and was told the same thing as Mr. Johnson, 75 decibels. So I went online to find out, what is 75 decibels? What does that mean? 70 to 75 is a vacuum cleaner. 70 is a hairdryer. 75 decibels is a dishwasher or toilet flushing. 78 decibels can be a loud washing machine. 80 decibels would get into garbage disposal or doorbell. 80 would also be a telephone dial tone. We're not talking about loud pumps, and especially when you put them in an enclosure with 2 inches of insulation all the way around them. I think the perception of the noise that these pumps are going to make is way worse than the reality. And we're taking measures. We didn't have to propose them in the enclosure, but we wanted to do that to, you know, help out with any perceived noise. Other than that, I mean, it's a pretty straightforward application. I went around Island Seafood, which is where this property is located. Island Seafood is the name of the seafood processing plant. I counted 11 refrigeration compressors that are there that have been running all these years with no complaints, an ice machine, multiple window units, all sorts of stuff. I mean, this is an active seafood processing plant that's been in existence. Mr. Johnson's research showed since the 60s, but I actually had been researching the deed, and it was in the name of a seafood company in the 40s. It's been there forever. So, you know, it's an established great place for this operation.
Thank you, sir. For the record, we will have to keep those
sure.
exhibits. And
yep.
Mr. Johnson, if you'll hold on to those as we leave and label them Exhibit 1, 2, and 3 pursuant to this case number, I appreciate it. Any questions of the gentleman? Mr. Tankard?
So tell me again how many gallons of water you'll be pushing through your system and exiting back out.
Approximately at full capacity with everything running 800.
And have you thought about the noise level of the water that's being put back into the water?
I have, yep. One way that we can mitigate that is that we can, the outflow of the pumps comes out of a pipe and goes down through a hole in the dock. And we can run that pipe all the way down to mean high water so that the water only has just a little bit of distance to fall. I can check on running them underneath the surface of the water. The
I can
thing,
tell you that you have a problem with that.
Yeah, well, I'm afraid the back pressure it would put on the system would cause it to not work right.
You used to work in a sawmill. I know how an electric motor runs.
Yeah, so you know that we can certainly, you know, it does not. It's a pretty tall dock, so we don't need it to run. We don't need it to drop from deck level all the way down. We can extend those outflow tubes. I'd be happy to do so.
Mr. France?
Yeah. I don't see much difference in this than the crab shedding operation that was there.
Right.
You had three pumps running also then?
It was two that were running with a third as a backup.
Okay.
Which is another reason why we've asked for six pumps, because when you start trying to configure this type of thing, you know, if you have submersible pumps and something comes through the water and jams those pumps up, I mean, it takes a lot of tinkering to get it right.
Right. And how many tanks were there, shedding tanks were there?
There were 60.
60.
At least 60 that I can count in the picture, and there could have been some that weren't even in the picture.
And during those years that those tanks were there and in operation, were there complaints of noise?
To my knowledge, never.
Okay. Further questions? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Yep. Anyone else here in support of this project? Sir. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
You raise your right hand. Solemnly swear the testimony you give to be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, self you got.
I do.
State your name for the record, please.
My name is Todd Janeski. I'm with Virginia Commonwealth University, Rice River Center. I'm the director of the Virginia Oyster Shell Recycling Program. I've actually prepared a statement in support of the project. So I'm coming before today to kind of share a bit of our role at Island Seafood on Gwynns Island. We are working, we run a statewide oyster shell recycling program. And we operate all of our wet work, all of our seed setting, and a remote set tank setup on Gwynns Island at this facility. We operate those tanks. There's two 4,000-gallon tanks from May through July, pretty much continuously. Last year, we released more than 7 million oysters into the Pianga tank as part of comprehensive restoration of that resource. The Pianga tank is one of those priority watersheds that has been identified to be restored. And we have plans for this year to increase our output from 7 million to 15 to 20 million. We've been really fortunate to have an opportunity to work there. Our program is based on a partnership-based approach with the general public, with businesses, and most especially the commercial seafood industry. We had approached Mr. Wade, the late Mr. Wade, about utilizing these two remote set tanks on his property that were built some time ago with replenishment monies. To support our development and growth of our program to better the outcome of oyster restoration in the state. He was not one to hesitate and quickly agreed because he saw the benefit that it would have to the ecosystem, to the economy, and to the resource as a whole. His support of ours was continuous during our time there and our continued time there. Last year, we partnered with Nature Conservancy, Marine Resources Commission, and NOAA and had a press event on the Pianga tank to celebrate the development of another 15 acres of oyster reef. We placed on top of that oyster reef some spat-on shell that was our shell. We were on a dead rise that the late Mr. Wade had actually donated, again, because of his support for the industry, the program, and the partnerships. Mr. Commissioner, you were part of that process. There were other staff that were there. And it was a good opportunity to really celebrate the efforts that we are doing comprehensively within the state, whether it's in the Lafayette, Lynn Haven, Wicomico, York. Those embayments are our priority areas for oysters right now. Our ability to continue this work actually hinges a bit on this permit. If this permit's denied, the most likely alternative location is going to be the site of these permitted tanks that are there right now. We would be displaced so that these upwellers could be placed at our location. Obviously, it's a little bit selfish for us to think that that our role has any bearing here, but we wanted to make the commission aware of other activities that are there that are contributing and that are partnering with this this operation. So we hope you'll consider the bigger effort that's being done for oyster restoration in addition to commercial operation that's happening out of this facility. Thank you.
Any questions of the gentleman? I have one.
Yeah.
If you lived next door to this facility, would you have a problem with it being there?
Not at all.
Further questions? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Anyone else in support of this project? Anyone here in opposition to the project? Sir, come forward, please. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Would you raise your hand for me, right hand? Shall I swear the testimony you'll give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Thank you. Can you state your name for the record, please?
My name is Joe Atherton.
Mr. Atherton, good morning.
Good morning. I have brought some pages for you folks to review as I look.
Thank you.
I don't have enough for everybody.
It's okay.
We'll work it out. The few of us that came here today, as well as those that are represented in our LLC, Save the Haven, and those actually that reach across the Commonwealth, are not here to oppose most of this today. We do live next door to this. The only things that I would want to be able to talk to you about is the planning for this. And I need to congratulate your engineering department for what they've done, because they have done the homework that probably should have been done ahead of time.
Thank you, sir.
I object to portions of the application for the following reasons. Number one, there is no clear statement as to why three additional land-based pumps are needed, other than in the original application he wanted to do it. Well, I want to do a lot of things. I'd like to know why it's needed. Why the pumps above the water are needed. And if you're going to put pumps above the water, what are the plans going to be? There's no clear statement on the specifications of the pumps concerning decibels. Your engineering department has heard two stories to date that it's either going to be 65 decibels or 75 decibels. I haven't seen that written anywhere. Scientific, verifiable data concerning the decibel level was either left off intentionally or just not thought about. And I think that's something that needs to be thought about when you're going into a residential area. Yes, it's a commercial pier. It's several hundred feet from my bedroom window. No design plan has been submitted on noise mitigation. I would think a scientific plan would be a good idea concerning noise reduction. There's no scientific basis, in my opinion, to evaluate what will be created. If it's quiet, if it doesn't make noise, we're all for it. That's great. I don't think you can establish a plan to put a motor in a shed with what I've heard for the first time today, 2-inch insulation, unless you know that that's going to do something. Maybe you should talk to an engineer, or maybe you should talk to somebody that knows something about sound to see if that will actually do it. Maybe you should mount these things on rubber feet. I know the diesel engine on my sailboat is a 30-horsepower diesel engine, and when my hatch is closed, it sits on rubber feet. And when the hatch is closed, you can have a conversation, you can talk, it's just fine. You open that hatch, you have to scream at each other almost. It does work when you do it properly. I would like to be sure that it's going to be done properly. The following serious unanswered questions indicate to me a haphazard approach to a technical business that we hope can successfully thrive. Perhaps if we all work together to achieve a fact-based answer to serious questions, both the oyster production and the community can live together. Senator Mason, a couple of weeks ago, has indicated that he's willing to work with our group, and I would ask that this body do the same thing. The questions that I feel are unanswered and the concerns that I have are on the second page that I passed up to you. Number one, what's the true noise level of the water pumps running at capacity? The limited research that I've done into decibel levels, if you have an increase of 10 decibels from the original number of 65 to 75. That is an increase of 100% noise. Decibel level is not a curve. It's a bell. So it's kind of like an earthquake. A 2.5 might not be so bad, but a 3.5 will knock a building down. I mean, it's not a straight line equation. I've asked your engineering department for that equation so that we can figure it out. I haven't heard anything back about that. I don't know what that is. But that would be good to know. In addition, we're not talking about one pump running at now 75. We're talking at three pumps running at 75. Another question I would have is, do you multiply those numbers together? Do you add those numbers together? Or does it stay constant at 75? I'm sure it doesn't stay constant. Number two, both 65 and 75 have been reported. I think we should know in writing why there's been an inconsistency. And again, as I said, it's a nonlinear increase. It's not a linear increase in noise. I would like to know how they propose to measure the noise level. No noise would be great. A little bit of noise would be fine. The research that I have done indicates that 70 decibels is loud traffic and 80 decibels is loud highway traffic at close range. Additionally, 70 decibels is a passenger car at 65 miles an hour at 25 feet. I can give you.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I would like to know what the logarithmic effect is to the pi curve with the decibel level, because that's what we're talking about. Nobody's talked about that, but that is the issue, and I think that's something that needs to be discovered so you folks can make an informed decision here. I would like to know what the total planned decibel level is when you put all three together. I'd like to know more about how the pumps will be housed. Not just a building with some foam around it, but why? And will they be on noise attenuating mounts, or what's the situation? I would like to know where the design requirements to attain this goal is. I mean, I haven't seen them. I don't think you've seen them. And specifically, what is the goal? I mean, is there a goal that we're trying to reach here? Do we want it to be 10? Do we want it to be 100? Do we want it to be somewhere in between? Nobody's even talked about what the goal is. How will the pumps be mounted? Is a serious question. And then finally, would you consider establishing a time restraint or a day limit or an hour limit? Or something we don't have to listen to from 8 o'clock Sunday morning to 8 o'clock Sunday night, or maybe all night long. I think a time limit would be a good thing. We have no objection at all to a submersible pump. I think that's a great idea. We have no objection at all to a pump that doesn't make any noise. I would love for there to be more oysters. I grow oysters. I think they're great. I have no problem with that. What I have a problem with is not having the information before you. Before you take a vote, I think you need the information. And it was mentioned earlier that if there is a noise problem, Matthews County comes into effect or comes into play. If I could, real briefly, read you something in Matthews County statute. No land or building in any district shall be used or occupied in any manner creating dangerous, injurious, or otherwise objectionable conditions which could adversely affect the surrounding areas or adjoining premises, except that any use permitted by this ordinance may be undertaken and maintained if acceptable measures and safeguards are taken to reduce dangers and objectionable conditions to acceptable limits. And I can leave this with you.
Thank you. I checked the noise ordinance yesterday, and it's not a specific noise ordinance in Matthews County.
Correct. That's what I had this morning, gentlemen, ladies. Thank you very much.
The questions of the gentlemen. We'll have Mr. Zedrin first, then Mr. Tangert.
Mr. Zedrin, what efforts have y'all made to talk with the applicant before this meeting to resolve these issues?
That's a great question. We have, on one occasion, before Mr. Wade passed, we met with Mr. Wade on his pier. This was not in discussions. We have never been asked anything about anything. We have learned this is going to happen. This is what we're going to do outside your bedroom window, and we're going to do it next week. So I would be more than happy to sit down with you guys and talk about this. I'd love to, because we all kind of want the same thing.
I have one more question.
Mr. Zaidan, follow-up?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I take it you lived there when the crab shedding was going on?
I did.
And I think the testimony was they had like 60 tanks there and three motors. What was the noise level like?
The main noise we heard all night long was a waterfall. The water that fell, I don't know what the height was or what the situation was, but for several months a year, there was a waterfall. And it was annoying, but why? I mean, nobody complains.
And so you didn't hear the motors running at all?
I did not hear the motors. Now, I hear lots of noise from that direction, and that's fine. And it's not noise. It's not noise that happens every now and then. It's a concern. It's noise that happens 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for 3 or 4 months. That's a problem.
Mr. Tankard?
So would you point out, again, where you live and how long you've been there? Maybe. There you go, yeah.
I live right here, and that's the side where my bedroom window is. My neighbor lives right here, and another here, and another here, and here, and here. That was the first part of your question. What was the second part? How long have I been there? My house was built in 1860 by relatives. I've been there forever.
Okay. Great. And follow-up question?
Yes, sir.
And these maps, it's hard for me to get a sort of feeling of how far that is away in, like, mile or feet.
Oh, no. Not miles. I can swim it pretty easily.
Good for you.
It's not that far.
Is that a comparison, yards? Mr. Tanker? Good for you.
There's a 500-foot scale to the bottom left.
Okay, here we go. So if this is 500 feet... I'm not going to hurt your screen here. So it's the first row, so that's five. Looks like about 850.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Other questions? Oh, I did take the liberty of looking up 75 decibels, and it appears that 75 decibels, as to what it actually is in debate, is in debate, according to reference, online scientific thing. So 75 decibels is about the loudness of chamber music in a small auditorium. It is just above a normal speaking voice, which is about 65 to 70 decibels, and it is below a telephone dial tone, which registers at 80 decibels. So I think, you know, there's some debate as to what actually 75 decibels.
Yeah, I've heard all over the board on that.
Yeah, it is. Any further questions of the gentleman?
I think a sound engineer would be a good person to talk to.
Yeah, an acoustics engineer. Yeah. For the questions. Thank you, sir. I'm sorry. Oh, Mr. Zeker.
Do you have any wave action there?
Yes and no. I mean, wave action is... I mean, today it was pretty rough because it's blowing 40 miles an hour out there. We lost 30 trees in a storm one time. It was pretty windy and rough that day. But typically, it's less than 2 feet.
Okay, thank you. All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Anyone else in opposition? Yes, sir. Good morning.
Good morning.
Raise your right hand. Solemnly swear the testimony you give be the truth, the whole truth, and the truth shall be God.
I do.
State your name for the record, please.
My name is James Williams.
Morning, Mr. Williams.
I'm the adjacent house to the seafood property. I do not have any objections except for the noise, and I think that the pumps, I think, is well within his means to be able to insulate them with modern-day techniques where we would not hear them. There's a lot of talk about decibels, but you know, this dock is way out in the water. A lot, at night when it's dead calm, how you can talk across a river and hear it. You know, a mile away, you can hear things because the sound just travels right across. So the noise would affect us. I think he could mitigate it so it wouldn't. So I'm hoping you will, you know, if you give him the permit, do it with him mitigating, not his efforts to do it, but actually do it so we do not hear it. I don't think it's a problem. I think he could do it. I know that in his building at the end has a concrete floor. That could be sufficient, too, to mitigate a lot of noise. You know, I don't think three pumps will take up much room, a little electric pumps. I know they can be louder. Electric pump by itself at night at the end of a dock, I think you would hear it. I think you'd hear it really loud. And the reason I'm here, because I know he's saying he's going to do some efforts, but his first application had no efforts. It was just three electric pumps, 500 gallons a minute. So I talked to Mr. Johnson about that. Mr. Johnson said, well, I don't know how loud it's going to be. At that point, I think Mr. Johnson did some research, and then he came back and said, well, we're going to use submersible pumps. Well, that was great, and I have no complaint. I was going to withdraw my protest. Then it was just another week after that, came back, now we're going to use three electric and three submersible. I figured it was four, because you could have problems with submersible pumps in salt water. I could see that. So, I think it's up to y'all to make sure that the efforts are done. I take exception to this guy saying we don't complain about noise from the seafood place. He's right. We don't. Well, you know, we put up with it. But that doesn't mean if somebody's throwing trash over the fence in your yard, and say, well, hell, I've been throwing trash over there. Why can't I throw some more over? That doesn't work, okay? I mean, he has to take some responsibility. I don't remember seeing this guy over there much in the years past, and he's wrong about the crab float thing. I bought the property in about 2015. There's been no crab floating going on there. If there was, it wouldn't bother me either. I like the seafood business, and I like that. But, again, he does have to look out for the neighbors, and he has to do things in a respectful manner, which has always been done over there. And that's why I've never had a complaint. And as long as he takes care of this and makes sure at night when I walk out on my beach, you know, at 11 o'clock at night or 10 o'clock and want to sit there and listen to what is a very nice haven, I don't hear, three electric motors. And I think he can do that. I don't think it's a problem. I think there's enough sound insulation materials today and places he could put it where, you know, it won't affect us. That's all I have to say.
All right, sir. Any questions, gentlemen? Thank you, sir. I'm sorry. Mr. Ballard.
One question, actually. I guess I wasn't clear at the end. Are you officially protesting? Because at the end it sounded like you were saying you thought he could do this responsibly.
I'm asking you to permit it with no sound, and that's fine with me. I'm asking you to permit it when he's already said that he would run the outlets down closer to the water. So, you know, it's going to be 600 gallons of water a minute. You pour 600 gallons of water a minute over the side of a dock constantly, and that's not, you know, it's constant. I know he says, well, it's not even all summer. But for a month, you know.
Or a day, or an hour.
Or whatever, you know. But I think he can alleviate all that. I don't see a problem with what he's doing at all. As long as he takes the effort, and if you permit it to make him take the effort, then I don't have a problem with it. But I had to come here because Mr. Johnson, he didn't know what the noise was going to be. The original permit was, you know, it's been a little bit of confusion in what was really going to happen in the end. So as long as y'all take care of it and make sure that it is done right. And Joe's right, there is an ordinance in Matthews that is if something is objectionable, there's no sound in Matthews,
right.
But after 10 o'clock at night, it becomes a more strengthened zoning thing where he can come down and say, well, we can't have noise.
And it's still, but it's still subjective.
It's very subjective, yes, and that's what the man said. But there is, if it's objectionable to the residents, something could be done about it through Matthew. So you might as well take care of it now.
Thank you. Further questions? Thank you, sir. Anyone else objection? An objection to it? Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Would you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear the testimony that you give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Thank you. Can you state your name for the record,
David,
please?
David Judson.
I'm sorry?
David Judson.
Thank you, sir.
And I would like to protest this for the same reasons that you've just heard, and I don't really have anything else to add other than that as far as sound traveling, we can hear traffic going across the grate on the bridge at night with the house completely closed up if the wind's right. So it doesn't take a whole lot of noise to be, you know, to be aggravating.
All right, sir.
And that's basically all I have.
Thank you. Any questions, the gentleman? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Anyone else object to this project? And, sir, you've got 3 minutes to come and rebut, so say whatever you'd like to say to the project. And I really would like to hear some indication. And also, Mr. Watkinson, as far as this permit is concerned, conditions that we can put on the permit deal with noise attenuation measures, correct?
Well, this does get into the zoning type issues, but
I think
that you want to put some conditions on there to attenuate the noise. They've offered the foam inside of the structures. If you think there's anything else that would be appropriate,
well,
I don't know exactly what it would be, or do you want to put some standard on them that they have to meet some decibel level?
I'm not looking at that, but I think we're kind of straddling the line of whether this is a Zapula where it's upland or whether it's in our. But I think under 1205, we do have the right to consider the effect on adjacent property owners.
Right.
And this is kind of getting really close to lynching that.
It is, and that's that kind of gray area, I would say, whereas past AG opinions have directed the commission to consider the direct effects of structures on other properties, such as if you build a pier or a jetty and affects erosion, direct effects. The health, public health, safety, and welfare issues associated with zoning typically, it suggests that be left to the local government to deal with, but to the extent a structure and an operation produces sound that has an effect on the adjacent property, I think you're starting to get into the area where you can start to consider that.
Okay, thank you. Any questions? Thank you. Sir?
Yeah, I guess I'll talk for a few minutes and hopefully you guys have some questions for me because...
What I'm concerned is directly is what the concerns are of those gentlemen, mm-hmm. and it deals directly with your plans for noise attenuation.
Okay.
Because I've got a generator at home, and I know how they have designed the inside of that container of that generator
right.
with stuff that you can buy that's stick-on, basically, that's just slap it, and it's that thick, and it does a really good job of making that generator so quiet that when it goes off outside my bedroom window, I don't know whether it's that or the shower running.
Right.
So I know there's stuff out there, as well as the height of the pipes from the water level. Because
sure.
if you're running a crab operation, I'm pretty sure the water was running right out of the tank pretty much.
It was falling
right
straight
up. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So if you can address that for me, make me feel better.
Okay. So when I started reading the protest letters, I was kind of surprised there were so many. I'm not sure anything we do over there, I think we're going to get a lot of protest letters, no matter what. Anything. But that was when I came up with the house around the pumps to help with that. And I thought the two inch insulation would be a good way of helping with that. If you want two layers of 2-inch insulation, we'll do that. I mean, I want to do anything.
We want the pumps to be as quiet as possible.
Absolutely.
And if you use 2 inches of Armaflex insulation, which is the rubber insulation that goes in there, top, bottom, all the way around in there, as long as it does not cause an overheating problem
right.
to the head of that pump.
Yeah, that was one concern I had, but I'm sure we can figure out a way to vent it and still keep the sound deadening effects. I mean, the last thing I want is ongoing problems with the neighbors regarding the noise. So I'm certainly willing to do whatever it takes to mitigate the noise. But did we hire a sound engineer No, sir, we did not.
Oh.
We did not. And I don't even know where to find one of those folks. You know, and
I
seriously doubt that 375, Mr. Atherton said he wasn't sure if those decibels added or multiplied or whatever. It isn't 75 plus 75 plus 75. It's not 235 decibels of noise coming out of there.
I understand.
It's not.
But here's the real deal. You can either do the best you possibly can as far as when you come here, as far as the permit is concerned.
Right.
If you don't do it and deal with us and it causes a problem, you're going to be dealing with the county.
Absolutely. So I have no desire to deal with any more problems. I don't want no more problems. I just want to grow some oysters.
Okay.
That's all I'm trying to do.
Mr. Tankard?
I don't know much about sound and all the acoustics and things, but it does seem to me if you had three people playing the same instrument, a trumpet, they're going to be louder than one person playing that trumpet.
No, I would agree with that. You know, yes.
And then I have the follow-up question of how much do you think you have no idea how much you're going to decrease the decibels with the foam insulation. Correct.
Not just the foam insulation, but also the house being put around it, too, with the building materials there. It's not just the insulation. But no, I can't tell you how many decibels that will reduce it.
Okay.
I can't.
So
part of the problem with, how many decibels is this going to create is that we have to go through the permitting process before we can put it into action. So I can't go and build the pumps and set them up and get a decibel rating on it without permission to do that. So it's hard to replicate. You know, how many decibels are going to be created without doing a project somewhere else or something. I'm not really sure how to. I mean, I want to do the right thing.
Sure, I hear you. And so I have a follow-up question.
Yes, sir.
Tell me why you didn't use submersible pumps.
Well, so the reason that we have, the reason we did it both ways is for redundancy, for one thing. So that if we have a problem, like if there is a heavy population of jellyfish or anything like that that blocks up those submersible pumps, we have another option. And it could be that the submersible pumps will do the job, but maybe we find out that we need to mess with the water flow, and the easiest way to do that is with the on-dock pumps. I mean, these things, they take some tinkering to get it correct. That's why we wanted to do both options, again, because we can't set it up and figure out what works best and then come back and get a permit. We have to get the permit and then go do all of the work to make it function properly. Another thing that was mentioned about the, cutoff time for the pumps, oysters don't work that way. You can't put them in a tank and turn it off at 9 p.m. and turn it back on at 8. I mean, it'll kill them all. Can't do that. So they have to run. That's an unfortunate part of it, but our nursery that we're proposing here is not unlike nurseries, all over the bay.
Follow-up.
Yes, sir, Mr. Tankard.
I would say your issue here, which is you're unlike others, maybe not all, is that you're in a neighborhood, from what I see.
Yes, sir.
And there are a lot of people who have a lot of years. Where we have, on the shore, a lot of pumps that are running. There's not many years out
right
there. But I think there's a big difference.
Ms. Everett?
Is there an ability for the structure itself to abate some of the noise? Can they be located closer to or under the structure? The building?
We could probably figure out a way to put those pumps inside that structure. I mean, I'm not opposed to that. That structure is in really bad shape. It's collapsing. There are parts of it that are totally safe and parts of it that you don't want to get anywhere near. So, the safe parts of it, we could do that. We could do that. I mean, it would involve the pumps wouldn't be located where we have them on the drawing. We'd have to relocate them, obviously. But we could do that. I'm not sure that. I think we could probably accomplish an equal result by adding more insulation to the on-dock, the way we have it. But I'm open to whatever.
Gotcha. Mr. France first. I'm sorry, Mr. Ballard. Go ahead.
I was just going to say I've got a little bit of experience in doing these, and I think your design is very responsible and good. When we talk about moving pumps other places, then you're increasing the size of the pump because you're increasing the head pressure on it. That may have an unintended consequence on noise. I like the idea of it being on the dock because you're not increasing the head pressure all the way to land. If you were to put this operation on land, you'd probably have to use 10 horsepower pumps instead of the one you have. I think on the different nurseries and hatcheries around the state, you'll find as high as 20 horsepower pumps running on land. Granted, they aren't in as residential settings as this. But it looks to me like a well-thought-out and responsible design as far as nurseries go around the state, and I applaud you on that. I would look into the insulation if there's a better option than the foam board, but to me it looks like this is going to be a pretty mild impact.
Mr. Allen, I have Mr. Zedra and then Mr. France.
You know, I think it's probably a real easy solution to this thing. Maybe you can get up with some boat builders. Both Dr. Neal and I have 35-foot Carolina Classics. Got two 540 horsepower diesels in them. When the hatch is up, you can't even talk. When the hatch is down, you can talk like you and I are doing.
Right.
So I think the insulation is there. You just got to make the effort. And I think that maybe just building it right where your building is, but getting somebody that's competent in noise control. So I think it can be done.
Thank you, Mr. Zager. Mr. France?
Yeah. You know, sometimes the outflow or can be louder than the pumps themselves. Have you done anything to maybe reduce that, like the outflow pipe maybe closer down to water level?
We will. We can put it right, you know, to the water level. As we were saying before, I don't think we want to put it so it's underwater because I think it'll mess up the dynamics of the flow. But we can put it right down to the edge of the water. You know, mean high tide.
Further questions? I think we've vetted this one pretty thoroughly.
Yes.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Matters before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. France?
Yeah, I think VMRC has enough practical experience in these things with the upoilers, tanks, crab floating, shedding tanks and stuff. And we've taken a good look at this, and I think all the precautions are there, and the design is there that you know, this should go over very smoothly, I would think.
Further comments, or
what is the staff recommendation?
staff recommendation supports the measure. Yeah. Mike, want to come up and read the last paragraph?
Yep. Just had it.
You got it, Todd. I got it.
Accordingly, all right. So since the proposed pumps to be installed in the pier are electrical and will be enclosed in wooden structures to mitigate noise, and the commercial pier has been in existence since the early 1960s, staff feels the project is appropriate use of stadium lands. Accordingly, after evaluating the merits of the project against the concerns expressed by those in opposition to the project, and after considering all factors contained in the Code of Virginia, staff recommends approval of the upwellers and pumps as proposed, with a payment of $793.50 for the encroachment over 529 square feet of stadium land.
Any questions of Mr. Johnson? Mr. Zedrin?
Can we put some conditions on that in reference to the noise?
Certainly. I mean, it would be an enforcement issue potentially, but.
What would you recommend?
Well, I think with requiring the use of insulation inside the structures would be completely within our jurisdiction to do that. I don't know about trying to enforce certain decibel limits or something like that on shore
we don't have sound meters.
But we could certainly take steps to try and mitigate this sound as much as possible. Like I said, using the foam board insulation on the inside of the structure, requiring the piping to come down in such a way that it reduces the splash noise as much as possible from the water falling from the tanks. I think all that's within our purview for sure.
Here's a question. Is that part of the conditions that you are asking us to approve?
I did not put that in my recommendation at this time, but you can certainly add those in.
Yes, you can. And the chair would certainly, although I can't make a motion, would certainly support that. Mr. Zedrin?
I would make a motion we approve it with the conditions that you just stated as far as noise and the supervision for construction of the noise compartment and that type of thing.
All right. So with insulation.
Enclosed
in structure.
Insulation to mitigate the noise.
Okay.
As well as the water outflow being down to mean high water?
Yes. That's another condition.
I thought you'd said that. Second by Mr. Miner. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Sir, in all due respect, please be a good neighbor. Don't want to come back here. Okay. Thank you.